At this time, we're going to have a very special speaker, Brother Brett Connell, the author.
Thank you, Lord. God gets all the glory. Well, Father, we just thank you so much right now, Father, for allowing us all to be here this evening. We just cover everybody right now in the blood of Jesus Christ. We pray and ask, Lord, that your holy angels would go to and fro in the seats and minister to each and every person that came out to hear your word tonight. And Lord, we just ask that your anointing would be increased and magnified here in this place tonight. And we just thank you, Father, for this opportunity to speak what you would have to give tonight. And we just give you all the glory and credit for doing that in Jesus' name. Amen. What we're going to be talking about tonight, the title is Don't Be Deceived. And the reason why we're sort of talking about these several topics tonight is because there is a large quantity of deception taking place in the body of Christ. And this applies to when we minister to others. It applies to our own personal ministries that we don't want to be taken advantage of. We don't want to throw ourselves out there in the wolves defenseless, where the enemy could possibly take us out or drain us of whatever God has given us. So we're sort of doing a preventive maintenance teaching here to help protect us from different schemes and wiles that the enemy is using right now. So I'm going to start off in our first paragraph. In today's world, we are seeing great strides in technological advancement and in the ability to utilize these expanding technologies as potential ministry tools. The internet has become a stage for all manner of things to take place, for good and bad. And while some of us have the best of intentions, we need to know and understand the reality of the threat that exists each time we sign on to the internet. There are many people out there in the world that are taking advantage of well-meaning believers, and as is often the case, they exploit the innocence and ignorance of the person. This evening, I hope to provide a sense of awareness and a recognition that we must seek the Lord in everything that we do, so that God can protect us and give us wisdom to prevent these tragedies from befalling us. Now, if the Lord is the center of everything that we're doing, we will be led by the Holy Spirit, and anything we go to do, he can say, that's not the right thing to do, you need to not do that, or I will guide you in the right thing to do, follow my lead. So if we involve and include God in everything we're doing, we allow him the potential to do that with us. So when we interact with people on the internet, we have our own guidelines that we tend to follow to detect scams or other variables that may be inconsistent with who or what we are dealing with. What I mean by that is we sort of have our own internal mechanism to say, yes, this looks good, or wait a minute, there's something fishy about this. So we kind of have to develop that inner mechanism that we use. Largely, this internal scale by which we measure and balance right and wrong is completely dependent upon our level of common sense. Unfortunately, common sense is often overridden by strong emotional drive or complete delusion. And so the hope here is that we can aid us and protect ourselves from such a delusion and break others out of such potential prisons that they might end up in spiritually. There are two main types of internet themes that are so widely abused and taken advantage of right now. That is internet dating and internet ministering. I am saying these things to create an awareness of a need for discernment and personal accountability and responsibility when it comes to ministering to or representing ourselves online. What if someone got into your computer right now? What would they see? What could they discover about you to discredit you? Worse yet, how much damage could they do to God's kingdom by pulling all your skeletons out of your closet? That's why we shouldn't have any skeletons in our closet. What if you had your identity stolen and all of your finances drained out of your bank and had your credit card, your credit rating shot and buried into the ground? What if you were even framed for an internet crime you did not commit? But because someone hacked into your computer and knew everything there was to know about you, you took the fall for it and had to prove and explain your innocence at the cost of emotional damages and suffering and even physical loss. These are all real, tangible risks and threats that exist out there on the internet. And this includes also people that they try to reach out to others through the internet. You have to be careful and following the leading of the Holy Spirit. If God has asked you to do that, that's fine. God will make a way for you to do that. He'll tell you the details of how to do it, and it's all set out before you. And then when God's in it, everything will work out. But if God didn't tell you to do that, and you're just out there to do it, you find yourself open to these threats and vulnerabilities. So I want to bring up some of these issues with internet dating first, and briefly go into an article explaining some of the red flag, early warning signs that pertain to this issue. The reason we're going here is because it seems like there's an increasing number of people in the body of Christ that are trying to find their mate, sometimes out of God's timing, and that's not good. And so what the enemy is doing is convincing these people, you gotta have somebody right now. And you can have that if you're going online to these dating sites and you're trying to hook up with different people. And it's bad all the way around if it's out of God's will and out of his timing. So there are a growing number of believers that are turning to the internet to seek their soulmates. Online dating has lost much of its stigma, and there is a growing increase in the number of people who are using it. Particularly, there has been an increase in people using it under the age of 25 and also in people over 50. So maybe because they don't feel confident enough, perhaps, or they don't have the self-esteem to go out and do different things and meet people face-to-face, they sort of migrate to the internet where you're in the privacy of your home. They don't actually see you, and you can still say whatever you want on the internet. It's sort of a comfort mechanism. And so that kind of draws a lot of people into that. And so we've seen an increase in people using it because of those factors. Now, the following is an article written by Jeff Williams from usnews.com entitled, How to Spot an Online Dating Scam. Now, the article reads, online dating is challenging enough without having to worry about scammers. After all, you may be fretting that the photos you've posted don't show you at your best. You may be wondering why you don't get more likes or smiles from the men or women you're trying to attract, and why you may be worried about how things will go if you meet someone in person for a date. But if you aren't a little concerned about the online con artists, you should be. As online dating has become more popular and mainstream, Match.com is celebrating its 20th anniversary this year, and more dating sites are cropping up, the risks of falling prey to greedy scammers is becoming greater. Last year, the Better Business Bureau received over 4,000 complaints about dating sites. Many gripes were about billing or other service-related issues, but there were enough protests about unsavory characters that the Better Business Bureau put out a notice warning consumers to be on the lookout for scammers. The Federal Trade Commission also frequently issues reports on online romance scams. There's even a name for what these con artists do, catfishing. That is, posting a fake profile and hoping you'll take the bait. So how can you tell the fakes from the flakes? the catfishes from the real catches. There are definitely some warning signs to be looking out for. If someone wants your personal information too quickly, if you're writing each other back and forth over email, or you're talking on the phone, of course, you're going to want to share information about yourself. But don't share more than you're comfortable with, or before you feel the time is right, says Carol Brody Fleet, an Orange County, California-based speaker who had presented in online dating and has authored several books, including an upcoming title, When Bad Things Happen to Good Women. And Fleet notes that men should be wary of online scammers too. No matter your gender, if someone is pushing you to reveal any personal information too soon, it should serve as a warning sign, Fleet says. It can go the other way as well. If your potential suitor brings up his or her own personal information too soon, such as discussing his or her own financial situation in any way, shape, or form, that warning sign just became a lot bigger, Fleet adds. And of course, if you're embarking on a relationship with anyone with severe money troubles, good person or not, ask yourself, is this really what you want? Is your potential suitor if your potential suitor is talking this soon about how they're struggling to pay the rent, don't be surprised if your new boyfriend or girlfriend and his or her kids are asking in a few months if they can move in with you. If they can't meet with you soon, obviously don't meet too soon. That could spell trouble for either gender if someone, for instance, wants to meet you a few hours after you begin a dialogue. But as Fleet puts it, there is a fairly standard way people date online. Let's say that you have met someone online. You have emailed and you have talked on the phone and things appear to be escalating in the right direction. But for some reason, they can never seem to find the time to actually meet in person, or they consistently schedule and cancel the dates. This is an enormous red flag. But some con artists are pretty cunning in finding reasons for not meeting. Heather Wilkerson can tell you that. Wilkerson, 31, works for a software company and lives in Des Moines, Iowa. She started using online dating sites more than a year ago. She says, quote, "I shaved my head to raise money for kids' cancer research," says Wilkerson, who earned over $2,000 and donated 23 inches of hair. "I joined online dating because I could easily explain my baldness right then and there. In person, men wouldn't even look at me. They thought I was sick or Britney Spears type crazy. Everything seemed to be going fine with the online dating. And then on July 10th of this year, Wilkerson sent a message to a man on the popular free dating site OkCupid. His profile said that he lived in Collins, Iowa, which is a town about 30 minutes outside of Des Moines. He told me he really liked it there because it was a small town, says Wilkerson. But the man, who called himself Nathan Feister, wasn't in Collins. He was working on a cargo ship delivering crude oil and gasoline around Europe. He said he was just leaving for a month-long voyage when Wilkerson first messaged him. It seems like an obvious red sign now, but Wilkerson approached him versus being sought out. She had no reason to think she hadn't found a ruggedly good-looking man who traveled a lot and thus hadn't met the right one yet. If they aren't pushy when a money issue comes up. If you've been communicating a while and your romantic interest indicates there's a financial crisis on his or her end but appears reluctant for you to send money, that may be an ominous sign as well. Feister, and surely this isn't his real name, his name pops up on the internet as someone who has attempted to dupe other women on this website, around the same time he was communicating with Wilkerson. He may not have worked on a cargo ship, but he was a heck of a fisherman. He reeled in Wilkerson, chatting online with her for almost 2 months, and they spoke several times on the phone. He seemed like a great guy. Then one day, several weeks ago in late August, the ship's engine apparently blew. Feister and his crew were stranded at sea. He said he couldn't get an email to the engine company to go through. So he asked if I'd send it, Wilkerson says, so she did. The company that could provide the new engine responded, stating the engine would cost $177,000 plus a $10,000 delivery fee. More emails ensued, and the engine company agreed to deliver the engine to Feister's ship, where he could write them a check to pay for it. But there was the matter of getting that $10,000 delivery charge to the company. Feister asked if Wilkerson to email his bank and see if they would transfer the money from his account to the engine company. They responded and said that they couldn't just do it by my word, Wilkerson said. So he gave me his account info and asked me to do it. Wilkerson logged into Feister's bank account and saw that he had $4.8 million in there. She attempted to send the $10,000 from the account to the engine company, but it didn't work. She messaged Feister, and that's when he asked Wilkerson if she would mind sending $10,000 of her own money to the engine company from her account. He would, of course, pay her back. She said no. But he didn't press her to do it. So even then, Wilkerson didn't necessarily think she was dealing with a con artist. Still, she had been thinking for a while that the situation was odd. Someone with $4.8 million in the bank didn't have some other method of getting out of the bad situation he was in? How was it possible that I was the only hope he and his crew had? It seemed weird, Wilkerson says. Nevertheless, Wilkerson, who had shaved her hair for charity, is someone who likes to help people, and she truly believed her digital boyfriend was stranded at sea. So she contacted the U.S. Coast Guard. I know that's maybe extreme, but I felt I had to. I gave the name of his ship, and they were super helpful, Wilkerson says. They eventually told me they didn't have any record of that ship leaving Miami, which is where he said it left from. That was when Wilkerson began to realize she was being had. Then, after some internet sleuthing and discovering that the web address to the bank website she'd logged into was a fraud, she realized how evil and twisted online dating scammers can be. And while her digital boyfriend wasn't pressuring her to send the money, the emails from the engine company were intense and urgent. The company said that since she was Feister's partner, she needed to send $10,000 quickly so they could get the engine to him and he could be rescued. She emailed the engine company that she didn't have the money and there was nothing more she could do. She never heard again from Feister, which confirmed to Wilkerson that Feister was also the person writing the emails from the engine company. It was a classic case of good cop versus bad cop. Feister was playing the good cop and the engine company, and the bad cop was pressuring her. These people are too smart, Wilkerson says. It's scary. Now, a little bit of internet history background. It's not that hard for somebody to design a website. They pay a small fee for hosting, and they might know some HTML code. They throw together a website that looks just like a bank website. And it's designed that when you click sign in, you enter the credentials, it takes you right to another web page that, since you're making it, you can create it to say anything it wants to say. You can make it say that you have $100 million in this bank account. So the scheme here was to make her think, this guy has a lot of money. He's not just coming out asking for money. He's asking for her to make a way where she can help him, and it's looking like, you know, I'm not going to scam you, I'm not asking you for money, but by the way, log into my bank account and look how much money I have. So then that would try to trigger an emotional response through deception in the person, and then think, oh my goodness, you know, it's nothing for me to send $10,000 because after all, this guy has $5 million. So of course he'll pay me back, but the whole thing is a scam. And it's not that hard for these people to set that up and to do that. So it goes on to say, here are several tips to avoid such scams according to Reader's Digest website. With over 1,500 sites devoted to dating, The internet is ripe for romance and ripoffs. How do you avoid opening your heart and your wallet to a prince or princess too charming to be true? Start by taking these precautions. Don't pursue a long-distance relationship with a stranger online. Staying local drastically reduces your odds of being scammed, since most scammers target victims outside their areas to avoid being caught or prosecuted, notes Canadian journalist Risha Gottlieb. Never reveal personal data to someone until you meet face-to-face and develop a level of trust. While it's tempting to share every detail of your life with a person you think you could be in love with, that's exactly what the scammer is counting on. Pay attention to language. Many of those who commit these crimes are from West Africa and former Soviet republics. If their command of English is fuzzy, that's a big red flag, writes Elizabeth Bernstein in the Wall Street Journal. Use search engines to check out suitors, or the people that you're talking to. When Bernstein met someone online who seemed too good to be true, she cut and pasted one of his emails into Google. Lo and behold, the exact words popped up on several websites devoted to romance scams. So they cut and paste these emails, these strategies. It's like they have a huge bin full of strategies and they just pick random ones to shoot out at people to see which ones are going to take effect. And actually, they'll have a warehouse full of people on computers. And this is where they do their work. And it's just a giant warehouse of scamming people that collect all the money. It goes into a pool, and then they divide it amongst themselves. It's ridiculous, but it's true. Okay, so upload a potential person's photo to TinEye.com. According to Bernstein, this will allow you to see where on the internet the photo has appeared before. Many con artists use a photo they've swiped from a Facebook page. So the picture they're sending you is some poor person that has nothing to do with any of it. And really, that's a form of identity theft and character defamation. They just steal it. That's why you shouldn't have public pictures on your Facebook. You should privatize everything where people can't just go to your Facebook page and just pull all your pictures off it, because this is the kind of stuff that can happen. Stick to paid online dating, or just wait for God to tell you when you're ready for somebody. It's the best thing to do. If members shell out money to register, that means credit cards are on file, Bernstein points out. But don't assume these sites are free of predators. They just may have fewer of them. Be suspicious if someone wants to immediately start communicating through IM and email. They may want access to your computer in order to steal information. I'm going to touch into a little bit of that at the end. But ditto for someone who claims to be a soldier. There are an increasing number of scams in which con artists take photos of soldiers from social networking sites and then pretend to be trustworthy members of the military. They'll ask potential dates for money to buy special papers they claim are needed to come home or talk to family. But Christopher Gray of the Army's Criminal Investigation Command told the Associated Press, there is no such thing. Don't open attachments from a stranger. Ever. If someone sends you a photo in an attachment and you open it, you may have unwittingly opened a virus to infect your computer. Don't fall for a sob story. Jody Buell, a peer counselor with this other website, says that many scammers claim to have lost a spouse, a child, or parent in an accident, or say they have a relative who is very ill. Another common play, says the FBI's Tim Gallagher in the Wall Street Journal, your suitor is at the airport on his way to visit you, but his credit card has been declined. Dial up your date ASAP. According to Bernstein, someone who sounds plausible online may be an obvious fraud on the phone. Check sites such as pigbusters.net and romancescams.org. If they have conned others, they may show up there. Report any suspicious behavior or fraud to the FTC. Never, ever wire money to a stranger or anybody on the internet that you haven't met yet, for that matter. We can see from these stories that the threat is real, and it also spills over into how we minister to people online. As we spread the gospel, there are those who are wolves in sheep's clothing that pretend to have interest but are actually plotting against us. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and he will use anybody to come against people because, see, they think, here's a good Christian, they're very giving, you know, they believe in helping others, so then they can help me. And they target them, they attack them in this way. So there is a real possibility that they could agree with anything that we say if it meant they were getting something out of the relationship, even the potential for gaining money or other resources. They'll tell you anything that you want to hear. The biggest danger is meeting these people, especially under any kind of circumstance or arrangement other than simply meeting for the sake of being in person together. If there's ever a condition to the two of you meeting together, we have to meet together so that you can pay this bill or so that you can get me out of a bind. We have to meet each other right now because there shouldn't be any string attached to it. If there is, it's a red flag. If you've talked with somebody online and you're going to meet them, then meet them to sit down and have coffee or something. You know, there shouldn't be a pre-existing ulterior motive behind your date. So if someone asks for support or money, you are not the person designated to provide it. And I'm talking about long distance and online acquaintances. Any grown adult would find a more reasonable avenue of procuring aid, services, or income other than asking people on the internet for money or assistance. I want to share my testimony with you to illustrate the real depth and severity of these issues and the dangers of being a victim online. Many years ago, I was the person behind the computer that these websites are warning us about. I've seen the whole spectrum, the whole thing of why people do this. There are people that perhaps they live in an underdeveloped country and they have a need that they just can't meet. Maybe they live in poverty. Maybe there's some other factors involved in why they do this, but they have a legitimate system that is set up to exploit people, to take money or other resources from people that mean well, from people that are genuinely seeking something out there, and they exploit that. I've seen people that they have 5 or 10 different accounts on their computer at the same time. They're pretending to be 5 or 10 different people simultaneously, and it's a full-time job to them. And they have these conversations with people where they use these strategies, they use these tactics to sort of throw the line out there, and whoever bites, they focus on them. And they come up with these schemes, and they slowly reel them in, and they get money from the people. Oh, my mom's sick, and I can't afford medicine, she's dying. And then they have the people wire them money, and they keep doing that. That's their livelihood. It's completely wrong, but for whatever reason, that's what they do. And they do it well. And In the past, I used to hack into people's computers, and identity theft is one of the easiest things to do out there because, for example, there was a man who had done his taxes. He filled out his tax forms, and he scanned them into his computer to sort of save them. You know, you have to save your tax information for at least 10 years. And so getting into his computer and looking at that, he had his name, Social Security number, bank account number, routing number, direct deposit for his taxes to go in, how much money he made that year, what he was paying in taxes, and he was worth about $350,000. So right there, you just take that file from his computer and sell that information for $10,000, because whoever buys it can potentially get $350,000. So there's a system here, and there's people that'll buy it online. There's people that buy that information if you're not willing to do it yourself. And it's sad, really, that to watch these people throw these strategies out there and literally scam people and not only take their money, but from a ministry perspective, if you're just out there and you have a good heart and you're trying to spread the gospel for, you know, to different people, they'll tell, oh yeah, I like what you're telling me. I love God. You know, tell me more about this Jesus. And the whole time, they don't really care about that. They found what drives you. They found what you're interested in, and they're hooking into that and capitalizing on that, and they're twisting it so that you become more interested in them. If they can look or act like, I like what you like, so let's come closer together. That's another strategy that they use. And unfortunately, people are being destroyed. Their ministries are being destroyed. They're being taken advantage of. Their finances are being stolen from them. And it's a huge problem. And there are so many different red flags that we have to be aware of. And really, this is why I said in the beginning that we have to invite God in everything that we do, so that the Holy Spirit can put those checks in us to say, hey, wait a minute, there's something not adding up with this dialogue here. There's something that's not right with this person. And we need to pay attention to that and pray about that and ask God, what is really going on here? Have I lost my focus? Have I gone off course? Where do you need me to be at now, Lord? So we have to be very attentive and I think very aware that this is a real threat, a real problem that exists, because so many people are thinking, I've got to have this, I've got to have that, and they're seeking these things, but it may not be God's timing for that, and they're getting themselves hurt. And we don't want to see people getting hurt from that. We want to inform and educate and make people aware that this is something, and I know it's a little bit off topic, but this is something that the enemy's doing, and it's real, and it's affecting tons of people. And the enemy doesn't care what he uses or what situation, what topic he uses. He, whatever is going to attack and destroy that person, he will try to do it. So that's why this is sort of coming out in this way. So we definitely need to be more educated and prepared with being very careful who we talk to on the internet. There's resources available online to actually find out where these people come from, where they originate from. So when you get an email from somebody that says they're over here, there's a way to look in that email and trace it to find out where it really came from. And that's an important tool to use when, if we're ever in a situation or we know other people that are in those situations, to explain that to them so they're not caught off guard. You know, the word says that we're supposed to be wise as doves. Gentle as doves, but wise as serpents. And that's true. We need to, and basically that's saying we need to know the enemy's tactics, but still remain Christ-like in how we live and how we walk. And that is so important with what's going on right now. Does anybody have any questions? Well, Father, we just thank you right now for bringing this forth in the way that you desire tonight, Lord. And we just pray that this knowledge and this information, this teaching would sink deep into our hearts and just put an awareness in us, Lord, that these threats are real and these things are tangible. And while some of us may not be involved in this, God, we need to know this so that in case we come across others who are involved in this, we can share this knowledge with them. And Father, you don't desire that anybody should be lost or led astray. So we just ask, God, that you would plant this seed deep in our spirit man's and seal it there with the blood of Jesus, that in the future, anybody we come across that has gone through this or is going through this, Lord, that we can properly minister to them, that you will give us the knowledge of that comfort that comes from you and allow that to operate through us and into them to heal these people that have been taken advantage by these types of scams. And Father, we just thank you once again for the opportunity to bring this forth. And we just give you all the honor and glory for what you brought forth and did here tonight. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes, I did have Brother Brett bring this cross because he said he used to do it. All right. So he knows what it's all about. I know that there's people doing it in the church. I know there's people doing it that I know outside the church. And really, I can't get through to the people because they won't believe that what they're into is not of God. So I was talking to Brother Brett about it, and he was telling me how it works. And I asked him if he'd give it tonight, and he said he would. Now, God, I said to God yesterday, I said, God, what do you want me to preach on? And he said, I want you to teach him on the insanity in the house of God. Well, this is one of those insanities. This is one of those things where we're supposed to be wise and we're not wise. And I just couldn't get it together. I worked last night. I worked all day. And I finally called Brother Brett and said, what did I ask you to put together? And so when he told me, then I was free. I wasn't supposed to get anything together. He was supposed to give this. This is why I tell you people, quit wanting a husband and quit wanting a wife. You'll get one, you think, and it'll be from the devil. But God will send you who he wants you to have. And you will know that it is of God. All right? Some of you are being scammed. Brother Brett checked into a few things, and he'll talk to you about it later, right? And he'll show you where you're being scammed. It's just very... this is just such a dumb thing that's going on out there. And, you know, and it's destroying your ministry. You know, not only in here, but in other churches and even in people that I know privately. And I even heard, you know, my grandson talking to another guy and they were laughing how they were scamming these women and thought it was just a neat thing. And that's why this is why I brought this up, because I heard these men talking about this and how they were going about it. And they said how gullible the women are, but then the men are just as gullible. You know, the men are just as gullible, and so both sides work it. And when you watch these dating things on the TV, more and more coming on, and you think, you can tell which is really a good one, which really, just by watching through the Spirit of God. And so I'm really admonishing everybody sitting in here this evening, please don't get caught up in this. You'll end up with absolutely nothing and a broken heart, you know, and you don't want that. You just want what God has for you. It's not bad being alone. It really is not bad being alone. Sometimes we all wish you were alone, right? And, you know, because there's some days you think, oh, dear Lord, I'd like to be somewhere by myself in a cave, right? And this is the truth, right? I don't care how much you love with each other. There's days you think that, because some days get pretty bad. So I don't want you to feel, get under any condemnation. This is just, and then see what you, now you've learned something tonight, right? And now I want you to share it with those around about you. And you know, if you've been scammed or are being scammed, then you really have a testimony. Remember, everything we go through is for a testimony. And so you just really be surprised what people do. When I worked at the college, these young guys come up and gave me the biggest sweet talk you're going to hear in the world. Oh, I just think you're so beautiful. I really love to marry you. And I thought, yeah, you little loafer. You're like somebody to pay your college bill, right? And so, you know, I just smile sweet and say, I'm not interested. Thank you. So this is what a lot of you need to do. You need to understand that everybody that comes your way is not of God. And some of the things we get into is not of God. So I'm asking each one of you tonight to rethink your life, rethink what really has transpired in your life, even before tonight. And please don't sit there and say, well, you just don't understand, because Brother Brett's going to show you what you're going through. And so after you talk to Brother Brett, then if you think I'm just getting in your business, and you can come tell me, stay on my business, all right? But it's my job when I see wolves coming after the sheep, it's my job to warn you. Now, when God said the insanity in the church, I thought, dear Lord. So I am going to get together a message about this because this is what God told me to teach. But I thank God I didn't have to do it today because I was in a tizzy. So I want each one of you really to ask God, give me total and complete discernment. And let me walk so much in the spirit that I won't ever be taken advantage of. I'm not even talking about a mate. I'm talking about anybody that comes across your path, because a lot of people come across your path that will try to take advantage of you. And I just feel with every fiber of my being that once you hear the truth will set you free. And this little scammer here, he knows it all. He knows all the ins and outs. He's been into everything. I swear he has. And I said, God, if you can use him to further your kingdom, you can use anybody. Amen? Isn't that right? I think right now that what we need to do is we just need to sit here and repent because of the insanity that we go through. Whatever we've been taught so much, but yet the enemy can come in and really, really pull us off course. So I just want us to take a few minutes just to say, God, if I'm going off course, I just really repent for the insanity that I walked into. And I just repent, Father God, that I didn't have enough wisdom to understand what was going on in my life. Now see, with me, I check everything so much that God said, will you just quit? I do not want to be pulled off course. I do not want to be scammed. You know, and I don't want to be deceived in any way. So I just check and check and check and check until I just can't check no more. I really think God wants us to do that. But then every now and then I go overboard in doing it and he tells me to quit it. But I'd rather go overboard than under. You know what I mean? Drowned. I'd rather check myself to the point where I know that everything that I'm doing is totally and completely of the Father. What I'm hearing God say right now is if you really want your eyes open to the truth about all the negativity around about you, if you'll come up, he's going to give you anointing in your eyes tonight. I thought, where are we going with this, God? So he just told me, he's going to give you anointing in your eyes tonight that you will see in the spirit realm in every situation in your life, and you will not be deceived ever again. And when he gives you anointing in your eyes, then your eyes are open at all times. Your spiritual eyes are open at all times. And you'll see in the spirit realm exactly what's going on around about you. Sister Nancy, well, even they can hear me even more than, could you please come and give the testimony of what happened when I had you pray over that lady the other night, what God allowed you to see as you was prophesying? This is what I mean by is he will give you this anointing in your eyes. Now this is what Sister Nancy saw as she was prophesying over somebody. So God can give you the same anointing as you're talking to somebody.
As God was speaking to somebody, God was explaining to them that they were going to go to heaven and see angels. And what was going to happen is these angels were going to start showing this person different things that they had been led in a wrong way and was kind of going to correct that person in different things. But what I actually seen was I was actually in the city of angels where you could see different types of angels. And the prophecy lasted for about 2 minutes. But it's like the whole time I actually could see what was going on as the prophetic was taking place. And, you know, you could see where the angels were busy taking messages, writing them down, handing them to other angels. And a lot of people think angels just have wings. You know, they only think of them in one way, but they were all in different uniforms also. So as you're getting a prophetic word or you're about your day, you can get a vision just that quickly. Yes, there's all types of angels. There's messenger angels, there's army angels, there's angels that They have all different types of uniforms on. It's just amazing. I can't even describe all the different things that you see. It's just like being on earth, except you see them in angelic form.
And see, she saw all that. God took her into that place while she was giving a prophetic word. So as God has given you this anointing in your eyes to see, when you're talking to somebody, God can literally let you see that person. I don't care if they're 2,000 miles away. He can let you see that person for who they truly are. And this is what he's doing tonight, giving you those spiritual eyes to do this. All right? So go ahead and receive whatever God has given to you tonight.